You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It's Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk Fear the Walking Dead, the final season. Ooh, episode one of season eight. We're going to talk about one and two, but we're going to start with one, because numbers. But, yeah, this is weird. The final season series finale of regular Walking Dead.
Right.
And that did kind of have an ending feel, like, oh, it's all coming to an end. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, I don't get that feeling from this show, even though they have said this is the final season. And I feel like there should be more emotion associated to it, because this is the show that started this podcast. Like, this was our excuse to start talking about The Walking Dead every week. We were already, what, four seasons deep or whatever into The Walking Dead when they started Fear the Walking Dead? Something like that. And maybe five seasons. I don't even remember anymore. This show is where it all started, and now it's coming to an end, and I really don't want to start off the final season with nitpicks or negative points, but...
Oh, boy.
There are some.
I have some.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it has to do with kind of the same old formula we see over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But also, another thing that I guess we're not going to spoil right now, because we're going to spoil it in a couple of minutes when we start telling you about episode one, called Remember What They Took From You. So we pick up basically where we left off, with Morgan being captured and taken to Padre by Madison. It's located on an island in Georgia, and Morgan and Madison end up overpowering the guards and rescue Mo, although apparently this happens off screen. We don't see it. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing we know, like, we are, like, introduced to this girl who's clearly living on the Padre Island, and she stumbles across Madison in a cell, and Madison's gone, I guess, a little, not crazy, but, like, time is worn on her, because the little girl who has stumbled upon her is Mo, apparently. But her name isn't Mo anymore, it's Ren. And also, Mo isn't a baby anymore. Mo is 7 years old, because 7 years have passed.
Yeah, honestly, like, I just have to say that Madison looks great for me.
Everybody does.
For 7 years.
Almost a decade has passed in the zombie apocalypse, and everyone looks great.
Her hair has stayed the same length.
Yep. No wrinkles, no grays. Everybody looks great. Even Morgan hasn't aged. Like, everybody
looks amazing.
Yeah. We see June in the next episode. She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Just the 7 years have treated them all so well.
I wish I looked the same after 7 years.
You know, Aurora, I think what the show is telling us is, forget about skincare routines, forget about healthy eating, living, forget about exercise, like, forget about all those things. What you need to do is live in a post-apocalyptic zombie hellscape, and, like, that's the key to, like, that's the fountain of youth, apparently.
Just don't eat, don't take baths, and fight zombies.
Yep, that's it. The fountain of youth.
Yes.
As it is otherwise known. So 7 years have passed. A depressed and suicidal Madison is imprisoned for her role in the rescue, while the young girl named Wren, we learn that she's Mo, desperately tries to prove herself capable of taking part in the future that Padre wants, but repeatedly experiences traumatic flashbacks that cause her to hesitate whenever she meets a walker. Learning about Madison, Wren attempts to enlist her help in training, only for Madison to realize that Wren is actually Mo, despite the successful rescue. Madison escapes from the island with Mo, who has been brainwashed into Padre's way of thinking, when they encounter Morgan, who is also working as a collector for Padre and believes that Mo is safest with Padre. Weird. Morgan eventually leads the group to an abandoned houseboat in a walker-infested swamp where they briefly lived with Mo, and they find references to Morgan's lost family and King County, Georgia. Under attack by a herd, Morgan admits that a similar attack happened 7 years ago, the source of Mo's flashbacks. That's what caused him to give Mo back to Padre for her own safety. Grace rescues the group, but Morgan and Grace contact Padre to turn Mo back over to them. Now disillusioned with Padre, Mo begs her parents to stay and expose them, but they refuse due to a belief that Mo is, in fact, safer on the island. Madison is taken back into custody while Morgan is fired as a collector out of the fear that he will eventually choose Mo over Padre. On the island, Mo claims to have learned her lesson and has a desire to take part in Padre's planned future, undergoing her training with a newfound confidence. A lot happening here, Aurora. What did you think of episode one?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
I have conflicting emotions because I'm very happy to see Madison and Morgan together.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm not sure if I'm buying this situation that's happening.
I mean,
I'm hoping that as the season goes on, we get to understand better why Morgan decided to let Padre take Mo.
Yeah.
But from previous seasons and previous behaviors from Morgan and Grace, I'm really surprised that this is the decision they made.
Yeah, for a while in this episode, I thought Madison was having a dream. Like, yes. She was having
100%.
She was having a dream in which, like, she didn't really rescue Mo, and she's feeling bad for all the children she took, and, like, she misses her kids, and, you know, I thought this is going to be, like, some sort of, she's going to wake up and, like, in the present or whatever. I thought this was going to be some sort of, like, trailhead for, like, Madison reuniting with Alicia or something like that. But instead, they're like, no, actually, 7 years have really passed. And even though Morgan and Grace and Madison and everybody on this show, Aurora, we've been watching it for 8 years. They've all faced...
Oh my God, it has been that long?
Yes, 8 years at least. I know, right? Time flies. You have a baby now.
I have a baby, yes.
Things happen. When we started watching this, I didn't have an adult and a teenager, and now I have both of those things. It's horrifying. But, like, all of the zombies they've killed, all of the threats they've faced, all of it, all of the things that they've gone through, the impossible situations that our heroes have fought through. And then, Aurora, they're telling me to believe that they ran into some zombies in a swamp, and they're like, you know what? Let's give this kid up to the island. Can't keep her safe.
Yeah.
Just nothing we can do. Put her on the island with the cult. We'll work for the cult, even.
They literally survived radiation.
Yeah. Nuclear fallout.
I don't understand.
All the shit Strand tried to do to them.
Yeah. I can't see that being in this environment for this long can make you be like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to give my kid to someone else.
I mean, maybe Aurora, they're just so sick of it, you know? They're just like, you know what? You're right. Maybe they were just like, you know what? Fuck it. Here, have the kid. Like, we suck at this. Maybe that's what's happening. But man, what a turn of events.
And,
like,
and, you know, the worst thing for me was near the end, Mo is like, no, I want to stay with you. Like, I let's be a family. And both of them are like, no.
Right?
Also, we're not your parents.
Yeah, we're not really your parents. Your real parents were these people, and they died a long time ago.
That was
go back to
harsh.
The island. Yes.
That was very harsh.
I know. Like... I'm like, why are you trying to make me hate Grace and Morgan? I like them.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I mean, it's my perception was also that they're not together, right?
Yeah, I also got the idea that they're not together anymore.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad.
But it was my perception correct, too, that Grace is a collector as well?
Yeah, she works for Padre also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also blows my mind. I cannot also grasp that Morgan is working for Padre.
Yeah.
Like, getting, even though he clarifies at some point in the episode that he's just taking kids that lost their parents or their parents are awful.
Mm-hmm.
But still...
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope that they explain.
He's like a
Morgan.
Yeah, he's like a Dexter collector. He only
murders.
He only murders killers. So like, you know, he's like, I brought you this kid. His parents were cannibals. They were gonna eat him.
Also, can I just say also when they're in that floating house in the swamp?
Yeah.
There's a moment where Mo almost shoots Madison.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. And then a few minutes later, Madison is staying behind and Mo and Morgan are leaving. And she's like, we cannot leave her behind. I was like, you literally wanted to kill her.
Just a minute ago. A lot of shifting character motivations. Yeah. Hey, I brought you this kid. His parents wanted to give him up to a cult on an island. So I figured he'd need to get taken away from those people. So I'm bringing him to you. Morgan, what has happened to you in 7 years? The thing that I think, I mean, those motivations bothered me. The time shift is weird. Because I think it now firmly places what's happening well after the events of the end of The Walking Dead proper. Because I think they were close to being happening at the same time. So now they would be well after, I believe. Yeah. And I am, you know, another, like, I know it's pretty rote for The Walking Dead, but Fear the Walking Dead has been particularly egregious in how they do this. Because at least when they would do this thing on the regular Walking Dead, it took them a while to figure it out, but eventually they started figuring out clever ways of doing it, and they've just never done this on Fear the Walking Dead. And you know the pattern I'm about to mention, Aurora, where the season ends and our group is splintered, and then the new season starts and we get an episode about Morgan and an episode about Madison and an episode about, you know, I don't, you, yep, like John Dory just gets an episode.
Just an update on everybody.
Yeah. And like, then you put the group together and then a big threat is faced and then they all split up again. And now it feels like they're doing the exact same thing here, except they're trying to throw this wrinkle of there's a time difference now. So there's more to learn about the characters, but it is kind of the same old thing. I have a feeling that episode 3 will also be like a character focus episode as well. Like, here's a character that you guys have missed out on. You know, here's what, I don't know. Is Rosita still alive? Rosita's from The Walking Dead, not Fear the Walking Dead.
Are you talking about Luciana?
Yeah, Luciana. My mistake.
Yeah, I think Luciana is still alive.
Okay. I mean, they get like brief mentions here. They're like, you know, we're Strand, and it's like, I don't know. Nobody can find him. Like, I'm sure he's I'm sure he'll show up.
I was going to ask you because, I mean, I don't know how many I think 2 seasons we've been hearing about Padre. And at some point we thought that it was a made up thing. And like, it was just like a lot of speculation of what Padre was.
Yeah.
And now we finally know he's an actual person.
It's clearly a person.
But we don't know who he is. We know he's a man.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, what if...
It better not be.
What if... is the bias.
Okay, that's okay. I'm okay if that's what it is. Like, perfect ending. Ten,
that full circle.
10 geeky glasses, no notes. That's a perfect ending. I thought you were going to say, what if it's Strand? And I'm like, please don't let... How could it even be?
I thought it could be Strand.
Right.
But we know about Padre before, like, when Strand had the mm-hmm. tower.
Yeah.
So unless he killed the previous Padre,
yeah.
now he's the new one, God, that could be it.
I hope Tobias is Padre. Like, I want, like, a big, like... evil villain chair swivel yes. reveal where the chair spins around. You don't even get to see his. You don't even get to see his face at first.
About this because he started the apocalypse as a kid.
Yes.
So it makes sense that he's like, you know, trying to train kids to survive the apocalypse.
Yes. So I need that chair reveal. But then before you can see his face, you get that close up where normally the bad guy has like a cat that they're petting, except he's petting a dodgeball. Like, yes. This is what he has. And it's like, okay, let's just keep going with this. It's like Castaway. So it's got like a face on it, like Wilson in Castaway. So like he talks to the volleyball, like he talks to the dodgeball. And it's like his friend. The dodgeball. Even better idea. Tobias is Tobias. The dodgeball is Padre. Okay. I think we have a new merch idea, Aurora, that three people will buy. But I'm here for
it. I'm calling it right now. I feel like this ending is better than whatever they wrote.
Almost 100% guaranteed our ending is better with Tobias's anthropomorphized dodgeball named Padre. Like Padre is like the brand of the dodgeball or whatever. I'm here for all of that.
Yes.
Instead, the chairs. I have a bad feeling it might be Strand. They bring up Strand only to be like, no one knows where he is. It's a mystery.
But I feel like Strand's voice is very
unique.
Unique, and I don't get his voice through the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like someone else. So I don't know.
It could be. I mean, or maybe he's got like a. You know, like that guy in Scream has a voice changer. You know, Padre comes over the loudspeaker with "What's your favorite scary movie?" If that happens, we'll know. the call is coming from inside the island. Run, Ren / Mo. But yeah, I didn't hate this episode, but like there was some eye rolly stuff. Like the time change felt like it just felt weird and jolting to me. Like, did we need to do such a time change? It didn't feel why is that necessary to the story? Yeah. It just felt like we know you guys are tired of seeing like the group splitting up and coming back together again, but what if we did it this way? Is sort of how it felt. And the weird motivations, like the characters being changed so suddenly, and maybe if they had a better, like, honestly, Aurora, I know you were laughing through it, but like a longer, more explained version of Morgan being like, fuck it, here, take the kid, would make more sense than, we got in a bit of a bind with some zombies and I was just like, we can't keep her safe. And it's like, what?
And that's why I think maybe they proved me wrong, but I think that what's going to happen is what you said, the formula of getting an episode for each character with an update of what has happened in the past 7 years for them. And then probably after the mid-season, we'll get kind of like flashbacks to those 7 years and, you know, what happened to these characters and why they're behaving this way. Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe what they're going to do, but I don't know.
I mean, it's possible they'll do that, but I'm so road weary of this, like, of this style of storytelling. Like, I would prefer them tell me, like, straight out the gate. Like, here's the motivation. Here's exactly what happened. We're not going to make you wait for it. I mean, they're lucky, Aurora. They should feel lucky because we do this podcast. So I'm going to watch the episodes anyway. But if I wasn't watching this for a podcast, there's a chance that I might not continue watching this season. As a completionist, I probably would anyway. But it is a little frustrating to to be like, you know, here's the reason why we didn't do it. And it's like, that's not a good reason. I've seen you, you know. Now, if they wanted to dive into it a little bit more to be like, you know, we've been through worse situations, but that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, we've been through, you know, we've like, that wasn't any worse than any of the other situations, but all those situations pile up over time. And, you know, the stress and anxiety in that island seems so safe and secure, like it's so isolated and there's, you know, we just want the best for our daughter. But, and you can read that into it, but without the character telling you that, like if all the character is telling you is we ran into some troubles with some zombies and gave her up, then like you can infer more things, but you're just inferring, you don't know it. And you just know what the character tells you. And the character told us here, they ran into a little bit of zombie problems and decided to give up on this human being that they love and care for and call their daughter. And that just doesn't track with who Morgan is for me. So
right, it doesn't.
It felt like that's a very un-Morgan-like thing to do.
And I feel like he's been in worse situations with Mo than a floating house, you know, surrounded by swamp zombies. Like, that's nothing compared to a lot of things he's been through. So
agreed. We're going to talk about the second episode in just a second, but I feel like they did something similar with the second episode, but I feel like they handled it way better and far more true to the character.
Agreed.
But we'll talk about that in a second. Any final thoughts on episode one, and what did you give it?
I just have one final thought. I think that it has been pre-established in this podcast how much I hate when characters make bad decisions trying to escape from zombies.
I still remember to this day the person trying to like climb on the ducts on the ceiling of the basement instead of just moving the washing machine or the table.
Yes. So when Morgan is trying to escape from the floating house, with Mo, he jumps like he does like a cannonball. In the whatever swamp.
Yeah.
And he's like, he gets some distance. And then after he does that, he swings back to the floating boathouse, whatever, to get Mo. And I was like, Morgan, why didn't you just slowly get in the water, slowly get Mo, and just swim away?
Right.
Like, you attracted zombies with that cannonball. And then you had to like spend energy going back to get her, swim back. I don't understand.
He really wanted to impress her, Aurora. Like, look at me, watch me, kiddo. Like,
this is my chance to do a cannonball. I cannot miss it.
She's never seen her dad. I told her I used to be a swimmer on my high school team. I used to be a high diver, and she's never got to see her dad do this.
Yep.
This is my one chance to show off, to see what the old man can do.
I'm always on the lookout for things like that. And if things like that happen, I'm like, why?
Why? You had to swim back.
So anyway, I gave this episode a 3.
Okay. I went 2 3/4.
Okay.
Apprehensive about this at best. All right. So let's then dive into season 8, episode 2, Blue Jay. Mm-hmm. By the way, I didn't start reading the description of this episode until literally just now. And the first 3 words, I'm going to try to not laugh my ass off. But it begins with the 3 words, a feral June. June is feral, Aurora. Just a gremlin out in the woods.
I wish someone refers to me that way. A feral Aurora.
Aurora emerges from her garden. A feral June. She's feral, everybody. Just a gremlin out in the woods. Spends years.
It's just because she has curly hair.
Is that what it means? I didn't realize. Well, if you ask my oldest daughter, she has the curliest, bushiest hair ever. And she would agree. She would say that, yes, that does equate to being feral. A feral June spends years isolating herself, ambushing Padre collectors and cutting off their trigger fingers until she meets a desperate father named Adrian, who is looking for his daughter, Hannah. Seeking to escape, June attempts to steal a Padre boat, only to learn that the occupants are Dwight, Sherry, and their son, Finch, who is Sherry was pregnant with when we last saw them. He has appendicitis and is in desperate need of emergency surgery. June reluctantly agrees to help and leads the three to an abandoned science lab in a train full of walkers. Joined by Adrian, June eventually reveals that she performed experiments to help find a cure for the walker bite infection using radiation therapy after having deduced that Alicia Clark had survived due to her previous radiation exposure. However, the radiation levels were fatal to her test subjects, causing June to abandon her research, despite Shrike's attempts to force her to continue. Adrian encourages June to find something to live for and attempts to recruit her into a growing resistance movement against Padre without success. After finding Hannah among the test subjects, the devastated Adrian allows himself to be devoured rather than live without her. June saves Finch and accepts an offer to go with her friends, but the group is caught by Shrike, who cuts off June's trigger finger in retaliation for her actions and has Finch bitten by an undead Adrian head in order to force June back to work for the cure. Elsewhere, Morgan admits his guilt over something that he didn't do in his past. Morgan admits that his guilt over something that he didn't do in his past is holding him back in his relationship with Mo. Madison helps Morgan to escape, remaining behind to hold off the guards and ordering him to go fix whatever it is so that Morgan can be a father that Mo needs him to be. I don't even remember that part.
Yeah, it was at the end, but it was kind of like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I barely remember that at all. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember Morgan at the end. What did you think of episode two? I thought this was much better when it came to like...
Way better.
Here's what June's been up to.
Yes.
And we get to see what Dwight and Sherry... Like, Dwight and Sherry work for Padre, too.
Yeah.
They also thought... Although their parenting choices were better. Because
yes,
they're like,
they're at least in the island.
Yeah, they're like, we want to be there so we can keep an eye on our son. Like, nobody knows that we're together. Nobody knows that we're his father and mother. Like, there's like a whole thing going on. Their motivations make a little more sense. And June's motivations make more sense. She used to work for them. They had her doing horrible things. She couldn't take it anymore. And now she's just exacting revenge, living feral out in the woods.
Living feral, love it. That should have been the title of this episode, Feral June.
Well, I guess Blue Jay was her her nickname or whatever, her call nickname. Sign. Yeah. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Now, this episode was, like you said, way better.
Yeah.
It did align with June's character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything she's doing makes sense for her character.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, everything that Dwight and Sherry are doing makes sense for their characters, too.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Which is why, like, the fact that they live in the island and Padre knows that Finch is their son. Well, they know that whoever Padre is knows that the kid is Sherry's son, right?
Yes.
Not Dwight.
Right.
But still, like, that information, that's why I'm kind of like, I'm not sure if Strand is Padre.
Because
I don't know if Strand would allow that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
He would know.
Yes. Yeah. But I just want to talk about one thing.
Okay.
I'm scarred. I have PTSD from this.
Okay.
That scene where the zombie head bites the kid.
Ugh.
That was horrible. I hated it.
That was so brutal.
I hated the whole, and in the best way. Like, mm-hmm. It just made me feel terrible.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Good horror.
good for, horror.
They don't do that a lot these days in The Walking Dead, but that one was pretty. That one was pretty creepy. Yeah, there were still some things in this episode that had me scratching my head, like, like there's no way, like June's gonna have to find a cure in an episode. Because, like, you turn pretty quickly from bites.
Yeah.
And unless the idea is, like, you can reverse the process or something, but I don't know how. Maybe that's part of the idea, but it's like, this kid's going to turn before she can think of a cure. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It was hard to hear Dwight and Sherry, like, agonize over...
The whole scene was
their kid.
Rough.
Yeah. I still really like Dwight. Him and Sherry have grown on me as a couple over the last few seasons. It was kind of a struggle at first, but I do like them both, but I really like Dwight. So that was super tough. The thing that bothered me most was June is a doctor.
A nurse.
Well, I mean, but she's essentially a doctor. Like in this world,
she has her medical degree after the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah,
she's done so many things.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, like she just did an appendectomy. Like, she's essentially a doctor / surgeon. Like she 100%. Used to be a nurse, but basically, she is acting in that sense.
Yes,
and. What are the most important things to a doctor? Their hands. So what do these idiots do? They cut off one of her fingers. Like, I get it in the retribution sense, but it's like, unless you guys are packing a lot of doctors, you need all the doctors with all of their digits intact.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be really hard the next time she needs to do an appendectomy on somebody or need to do any sort of surgical incisions. It's going to be really tough when she's missing a finger.
Yep.
Especially a trigger finger, which is like your pointer. Like that one comes in handy a lot.
Yep.
Hard to write without one of those even. So certainly hard to hold a scalpel or what are they thinking, Aurora? That's just dumb.
Yeah. And let me say this, true to June's character, she was, getting these people sedated before she cut their finger. Like she was removing their finger, but she was also thinking about their pain.
Yeah, she was dosing them. She would hit them with like trank darts or whatever.
Yes. So she is still true to her character that even though she's doing this kind of like a way to show them, you know, to punish them.
Yeah.
She's still being, you know, this caregiver that doesn't want them to feel pain.
She doesn't
want to
torture them.
And then they go and cut her finger off without, like,
no
anything, just, like, clean. And I was like, wow, it's not the same.
No, they're not the brightest bunch over on Padre Island. That's all. No. But I did like the story. Adrian's story was heartbreaking. It's always heartbreaking when you have, like, a parent losing a kid, and now that you're a parent, like that'll hit even harder for you when you see those.
So episode was rough, but
have fun with that.
You have this guy like letting his daughter eat him.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, you have Dwight and Sherry see their son get bitten by a zombie just because.
By that guy, in fact.
By that same guy. That was too much for a parent.
Yeah. Also, trying to imagine. Who thought up the idea? Like, we need a zombie head holder that can extend out to bite people.
Yes.
Like, somebody had to invent that and build it.
Yep.
Don't see a lot of those in surgical bays, I don't think. A lot of surgeons aren't like, get me the zombie head holder. This patient needs a zombie infection quickly. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. But somebody had to think up that idea, so that's... fascinatingly weird. But yeah, I do have like an interest in the bad guy motivations in the sense that like, I don't know, I don't really care what Padre's plans are, but I am sort of fascinated by the idea of, like, everybody who wants to save the world just wants to take it back to what it was, and that's the thing that broke it in the first place.
Right.
But sitting here trying to think of, like, what are your plans that are different? Like, are you thinking of something that's never been done before? Because if you are, like, what is that exactly? Because what he's doing right now doesn't feel any different than, like, various right. other systems of like society that we've tried to make. But it does bring to mind this interesting idea of, like, what other ways are there? What's mm-hmm. a way that we could live and coexist together in a way that doesn't result in what, you know, has always resulted from people living right. in groups together? And that is something that's super interesting to me. I don't really like Padre's things feel very much like any cult or
yeah.
like yeah. any,
I mean, they're indoctrinating kids.
Yeah. Any sort of dictatorship or cult of personality. It feels very similar to all of those, mm-hmm. Which is probably why Padre is the villain, because bad guys, very rarely they feel like they're right. Mm-hmm. Even if it's clear that they're not, it isn't clear to them. So, but to me, it just looks like one of those things, but it is interesting. Like, what yeah. could we do different? Is there anything we can do different? Or mm-hmm. are there only so many patterns we can try? And maybe none of them are good. Like, that's a possibility. Yeah. But that stuff is super interesting to me. Anyway, Aurora, final thoughts on episode 2, and what would you give it?
I was going to say that the whole, like, island of kids with Padre kind of, it's not the same, but it reminds me a little bit of all the kids that live together in that house in the Walking Dead Telltale game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of feels that way a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe Clementine is Padre with a voice changer.
That would be a twist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Tobias Steele will be the best one.
Yeah, he's the only one who wouldn't need a voice changer.
Yeah,
He'd be more of a grown-up now, but mm-hmm. Still. If he has that dodgeball with him, or the kickball or whatever,
that would be amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Need it.
I gave this episode a 4.
Oh, okay.
A lot more. I like the horror, not only like the scenes that I mentioned, but also there's a scene where June is walking through the train and she's going by all these walkers that are kind of like restrained, that were, I guess, they were doing experiments on.
Yeah.
And as she walking through it was really creepy too, and I liked it a lot. So
4. Nice. I went 3.5 for this one.
Okay.
I did like it a lot, but after that first episode, I'm like being cautious mm-hmm. now. I'm being mm-hmm. being wary about how I step with this show. I did not see the preview for episode 3. Episode 3 is already aired and it's already out there. I haven't watched it yet. We'll talk about it next week. But
I saw the preview.
Did you?
Yes.
I mean, it's possible. I don't know how you're watching it, Aurora, but mm-hmm. If you're watching it on an AMC Plus, then it's possible that maybe next week we'll just do 2 episodes again, because 3 and 4 will be available by then.
Yeah.
So
we
might just do that and we'll be caught up or whatever.
Sure.
So we might do that, everybody. Listen to us plan podcasts live in front of your in front of your ears, listener. All right, everybody. So that is the podcast for this week. Head on over to cinemageekly.com, where you can check out the archives of the show. Of course, this is a listener-supported podcast, and there are a couple of ways you can help out there if you so choose. We have a Patreon. Some people have been signing up for the Patreon lately, so that's great. Thank you to everyone who's been doing that. Patreon.com/cinemageekly. We have the merch store, geeklymerch.com, where I got this black Podjockeys mug that I'm drinking way too much coffee out of this morning, but... Aurora, as you know, and some people on the internets might know, that is also the place where you can go to see the 3 times sold Tobias Lives t-shirt. I still cannot believe that we sold a third one. I'm almost positive you have one of them, but...
I think we're the only ones that remember Tobias.
Yeah. I don't remember if you bought... I know you got something, but I don't remember if you bought a Tobias Lives
thing. I don't have a Tobias Lives shirt.
Okay.
No. I should.
Wait a minute. There are 3
Yeah.
Unaffiliated to us people that have this. Yeah. I think I got one picture a long time ago. But
like, unless you know, it's people that are buying it that have people in their lives that are named Tobias.
Yes. I definitely need, that's what I thought too. Somebody was like, oh wow, that's my name. if that's the case, cool. Like send us pictures. Like I like to post, merch on the socials or whatever. You don't even have to be wearing it. You can just like lay it on a bed or a table or something. Like I just want to see it existing physically.
Yeah.
Outside of the preview image that we get
if
on the
I
website.
If I see someone in real life wearing that shirt, I will lose my mind.
I would too. That would be so weird. There are people out there though. Amazing. There are people I don't know and I've never met in my life that have bought these things because when the people in my life buy something from the store, they usually tell me, hey, I picked this up or whatever. But there are lots of people who have bought things and I have no idea. I have no idea who bought the Three Tobias Lives shirts. No idea. Maybe it's the same person.
Maybe.
For all I know, maybe they're like, I'm going to get it in every color.
In each color, exactly.
Yes. links for those sites in the show notes for this episode. Of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Audible. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead. Hit subscribe. And that way you can join us next time to hear us talk about more Fear the Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 3 called Odessa, and Episode 4 called King County.